Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to another Friday, beginning of Shabbat this Friday night. We are counting down to Thanksgiving and, of course, the many different holidays. Hanukkah. Christmas also is celebrated by Christians. And, of course, we've covered all of these particular things on our websites. And you can go over there and find them. You have to search for them. At any rate, today is Friday, and we're glad to be here at Friday. You can find us on our social feeds. WatchmanIS216 is our handle, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter with that. Warn Radio, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. Watchman, just the name Watchman, we're on LinkedIn. We're also on Tumblr. We're on MeWe. And we are on USA.life, which I recommend you checking out. Check us out on USA.life. And that is a Facebook and Twitter alternative, so to speak. And it is definitely not going to be at all like Facebook, except some of the things look alike. They just are more secure. They don't sell your information, and that's the way it is with MeWe as well. They're secure. And so there's no doubt about it that, we've wanted to be in the process to move some of our social feeds and presence, and we have. We still have a lot of people that follow us on the basic three, I guess you could say, Facebook, Twitter, and on LinkedIn. And, of course, we are on Instagram as well, as I've said, on Warn Radio there. The Warn Radio Network is available through certain carriers. But first, before I tell you those, on both of our websites, warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, which when you get there, you will find that it says the Watchman Institute for Biblical Research. The WIBR, or the Watchman Institute for Biblical Research, is one of the first things we actually started, which began along with our Wings Ministries we had so long ago. And then the Warn Radio Network was an outgrowth of that ministry. And on our websites, you'll find an app, the Spreaker app. You'll find a Blog Talk Radio app. And they're usually in the sidebars on the blog. You can also find on the front of both of the pages, you'll find the Spreaker app where you can listen to all the shows. But on Warn USA, we post everything along with information about the study, which gives you some in-depth stuff to understand about it. And you can find those there. Now, however, you can also find us through Blueberry and its network, iHeartRadio and its network, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, we're known as Warn Radio Visions, Podcast Addict, CastBox, and Google Podcasts. We also have some stuff that gets sent out through the Spreaker network, and including YouTube, which I am not a YouTube fan. I haven't been for years. I've stopped putting any trust in YouTube many, many, many years ago and got off of it. So whatever's on there, it's on there, and whatever isn't on there is not on there, because I don't make any efforts to put anything on them. They are, as far as I'm concerned, YouTube, and their management especially, and their policies are corrupt, and I won't avail myself, and you know, on purpose. So other than that, you know, if these people weren't so biased and wanted to remove the message, YouTube openly you know, banned a particular ministry because he used the word Christian, and they wouldn't take his videos. Well, he did get banned, but it was more than that, because he had a ministry that they didn't appreciate. And there's a lot of them that way. Well, so be it. It'll be on your own heads. A couple of articles. I just finished one last night, and I was up early getting this in the final editing stages and got it published. It's out on our network now. Ecclesiastes, Mirror Reflecting Man's Choice. Now, Ecclesiastes is a good book, and I discuss it, but I also look at the mirror that it casts, reflecting some of the choices that we make, and it's full of wisdom. I invite you to read that and pass it on to your friends. Check it out on both of our websites and on all our social feeds, Ecclesiastes, Mirror Reflecting Man's Choice. Another one that I wrote, and this was, I think, last week or the week before, was Faith of Jesus in a World of Evil. And you can definitely see how those with the faith of Jesus are facing persecution and death. And I discuss a lot of this, and there is hope in this article as well. There's hope in both of the articles. So check those out. Pass them on to your friends. I invite you to join us on all of our social feeds, especially come on over to MeWe. You'll find us. We've got a special group there as well. We've got also USA.live. Find us over there and join us over there. And you will be able to join our group over there as well. And it's growing slowly, but it is growing. It's a whole new platform, a whole new voice, and we're getting lots of friends over there. So check it out. Today we're talking about Sardis. Sardis is dead. Message to the seven churches. And so in the midst of the way things are in this old world, it's good to know that, you know, God's word has always been there, and that we have hope no matter how bad it is. Now, when we look at Sardis, we think of a sleeping church, a dead church, a lukewarm church, but the lukewarm church is actually Laodicea. Sardis itself was one of the oldest and most important cities of Asia Minor. And up until 549 BC, it then, you know, was the capital of the kingdom of Lydia. And you need an ancient map when we're talking about a lot of this stuff, especially out of Isaiah as well, in order to find out where everything is. In our modern world, only archaeologists and historians sometimes can really find, as well as the locals there, can really find where something might have been. We'll be talking about the seven spirits, which are ministering present angels. These are angels represented as standing before the throne of God or isn't in his presence. I look at it as a full-fold spirit of God. But, it, you know, it does say in Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And when we talk about spirits, we speak of angelic angels that are personal attendants Now remember, the Lord our God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Yahshua, Jesus, came, and he was formed in the image of his Father, and he is the one that created all things. He was in the beginning, and it is he that took on the physical form and walked on this earth and became our Savior. He shed his blood for us. And pretty much when you get in the study of Christology, you can see his presence in the Old Testament, revealing the Father. So Revelation 3, 1 through 6 is where you find Sardis. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. Now, so while we say a sleeping church, it does take a sleeping church in order to get to the point of being dead. And there is good news in this, because when you see you are dead, you think immediately, well, that means everybody in it is just dead as well. When what you are going to find out in these letters to the seven churches, and of course, seven is God's perfect number. It's a number of perfect completion, that which God has attended to. The seven spirits of God would reflect the fullness of God and everything in his in what he's doing, the seven stars. And they are the seven golden candlesticks. We find those in Revelation 1:20. The seven stars represent the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks that you saw are the seven churches. So the seven stars are the angels of the churches. And so it says the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, which are the angels of the church, each specific church. So when we're talking about the seven spirits, particularly, these are the seven spirits that are ministering before God, and they stand before his throne night and day. The seven stars are the individual angelic presence that are stationed at each particular place. And they're not the only ones. These particular ones, when we look at it, there's seven churches. Now, we look at them, and historically, prophetically, and when we look at it from a theological standpoint, people will look at this, theologians will see this, they've come across seven specific types of Christians, seven specific types of churches, or seven specific churches that are stationed out throughout history. And so you have one church and it's assigned to a certain period of time, and another church. I don't really attend to all of those theories. I don't worry about all that. Seven is a complete number, and it represents what God is doing. And here we have the seven spirits, which, as I've already spoken about. But see, remember Daniel and the angel of Persia. There was an angel that was going to be stationed there, and they had to cast out the angel of Persia. He was stationed there in order to manipulate and do push the doctrine of Satan to the king and the court there where Daniel was in Babylon. And this particular powerful principality spirit was there, and he was the one that was in charge. He would have had an army of spirits underneath him. But when we talk about where people are, and again, when we talk about the church, we're not talking about bricks and stones here. We're talking about the people that are at the place that are gathering together in the name of the Lord. And so you have and one thing this shows us is that, as it is written in Scripture, that the Lord will give his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And another one the angels of the Lord encampeth around about, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. So in the presence of the churches, wherever they're at, there is this ministering angelic presence that is there to keep the church and to deal with the issues there. And this is one of the important things here. And of course, the one that's speaking is he that has the seven spirits of God. And this, of course, is the Lord himself. And so when we talk about the seven spirits, which are before his thrones, that's one thing. When we talk about the Lord, it says he that has the seven spirits of God. See, the Lord, when he came, he had the fullness of God. And the fullness of God in all of its form, in everything that could be had, in him was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in that body. And the seven stars, he's the one that holds the seven stars, who controls those angelic principality angels and those who are under them. He's the one that controls that. He says, I know thy works. And so the word know is a revealing meaning. There is nothing hid. I can see all knowing, all seeing. I know these things. Remember, he is Alpha and Omega. In the first chapter, chapter of this particular book, he calls himself the Almighty. So it's understandable that when he's talking to a church that's dead, he's the one that has complete authority, complete power, and he has complete knowledge and revelation of where they stand. And he says, you have a name that you live. People see this church and say, well, hey, man, that's a bunch of Christians. They're doing fine over there. Other Christians would see them and think they're doing fine. Now, however, the Lord looks into this and he says, you're lacking. You're not alive. You're dead. And so, you know, this is the same thing when we look in America. You know, and I use that because I live in America. You could use the UK. You could use Europe. I remember years and years and years ago, a couple of decades ago, David Wilkerson was talking about Europe and how the candle of Christianity had gone out of Europe. It was totally devoid of the real truth of Christ. And so it's no wonder today that we are in darkness in the world and that Europe itself is being overrun by Islam as well as the UK. We find Islam entering into Canada and into America and Australia, many of the Western nations. And that's because many of the churches in the Western nations have fallen away from the Lord. They're sleeping, they're cold, they're lukewarm, and some of them are dead, as in Sardis. And when you're dead, you know, God works to bring you back. And that's one thing that we see within the letters to the churches. These letters to the churches are very redemptive because the reason he's dealing with them is not because he hates them, not because he wants to be a mean, nasty God and tell you that you're not perfect, but to let you know that if you're going to stand before him, you had better be dealing with the issues. You better be making sure you're right with God. Because it's far too easy for humans to, you know, just be passive about these things and say, well, you know, he's a loving God. It's okay. He doesn't care if I do this. You know, you get caught in sin. You're doing something continual that's not right. You know, you've lost your love for the Lord, as it says in Scripture. Because sin and iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And see, today, the love of many has waxed cold. I don't even have to know the hearts of the church and pastors. We can see from the fruits. But the thing of it is, the Lord is the one that really knows. But we know today that sin and iniquity in America is at its peak. One of the worst we've seen it. And we flaunt our sins, we're hedonistic, we're godless, and we're proud of it. We don't want to listen. And the churches many times are the same way, proud. And there's a lot of them that are standing in abominable ways. And they themselves are facing the judgment because of what they're doing. And so when we're talking about this, you know, this is time for the church to pay up. When you stand before God and he's redeemed you and you've fallen away and you've neglected to keep your faith the way it should be, walking where you need to be walking. And when you stand before him, you're going to be in trouble. You know, too many people think that, you know, it's okay. It's not okay. Sin is not okay. And if you read the apostles, you're going to find out that they spent a lot of their time telling the new Christians what they could and could not do, what they shouldn't be doing. And James spoke to them about persecution, but he also talked to them about the tongue and gossip. He warned the rich men. You know, and so we live in a rich society where there's rich churches and rich pastors, where people have good jobs and they're comfortable, and it's easy to fall away that way. So these people thought that they were fine from all intents and purposes. When you look at it, you would think that they were fine. They weren't fine. You know, we all think we're fine. And if we don't think we're fine, we don't want to hear anybody tell us. But see, there's one thing about God. His judgment and his purposes are redemptive. From the get-go, they're redemptive. You see, the thing of it is, with Adam and Eve, they fell. And had they have eaten of the tree of life, that which was in the garden, they would live forever. You know, had they have eaten of it, they were cast out, so they couldn't get to that. They would have been forever condemned to this damnation state. But see, being cast out of the garden even was redemptive, because it teaches man, you can't do that. God is a holy God, so God worked to bring them back to himself. And even in Scripture, when you're dealing with Adam and Eve, and then the following kin that had come out of their loins, you still see God dealing with men. Now you fast forward today and you have entire sections of society and professionals and others who absolutely decry the Bible and attack the Bible and believe that the stories are not real. So, you know, the bottom line of it is, if you're not going to believe the Word of God, you're not going to believe in the Word incarnate. And you're not going to be able to be set free by the word or the blood of that word. See, the Lord himself came and he is the word incarnate. When he comes again, he's going to have the word on him. He is known as the word. Now, in this next verse, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I've not found thy works perfect before God. So when we talk about watch and being watchful in the second verse, you'll find that in the Greek 1453. To keep awake, to watch, literally, but it also figuratively means to be vigilant, be awake, be watchful. Now, one of the reasons I call myself a watchman for many years I was a watchman before it was cool to be a watchman, before they made movies titled Watchmen, because God told us to watch. So I watch, and I report and teach and preach. I'm a watchman. I wrote my first book called D-Day for America about the destruction of America and the coming thing. And it wasn't a real big seller. It was my first book. And what I did was I put a lot of the word in it, a lot of the scripture in it. And I had two choices. One, to put the word in it and tell them some of the things that they, you know, from biblical standpoint, how they could be helped. The other thing, I didn't want to fill it with just prophecy. I didn't want to fill it with dreams and visions, and I didn't want to fill it with all those people who were conspiring to bring down America. I wanted people to have a book that was full of the Word of God. And that's what I did. I remember talking to a Lutheran pastor over in a particular state while I was there visiting with my wife there. We had gone there. And she took the book and, you know, she was questioning me about watchmen. I told her, I says, well, you know, we're all watchmen. We're supposed to be watching anyway. Well, she decried that. She didn't like that. She didn't really care for it. She thought it was funky. Who was I writing a book if I was a watchman and everybody's supposed to be watching anyway? And, you know, just like when I went back to my Methodist church that I was raised in, along with all my family, I'd always been in church. And I talked to the minister there, one of them that was there ministering at the time. He was in his office. And we talked for a while, and I asked him about being born again, being saved. The guy didn't know a thing about it. Well, see, I'd graduated from Bible school, and had been ministering on the streets through a nonprofit that I created, and I had some of my buddies join me to help me, and this guy didn't know anything about it. And, of course, he went to a seminary and had a high-tech, a high-level theology degree, PhD or something, master's, you know. Yet he didn't know the Lord. And, of course, this kind of thing is illustrated by Paul. Paul studied under the feet of Gamaliel, was one of the smartest men and knowledgeable of Scripture, especially the law. But yet he didn't recognize who the Lord was. And the Lord cannot be revealed just because you know a foreign language, just because you went to some college. You must be spiritually discerned. You must be born again of the Spirit. See, that's the key. And the key to keeping the church alive, and that is to be connected to the Lord. John 15, you must abide in him. And when we fail to abide in him, without him, we can do nothing. So our job is to be watchful, to keep awake, to be vigilant. And whatever we have, we're to always work to strengthen those things so that we can stand. Like Paul says, having done all to stand, we stand therefore. Now he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, comma, that are ready to die. See, there's things that remain, but they're ready to die. And he says, your works are not perfect. Now, see, if we refer to 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 7, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken in the night are drunken in the night. We're either of the day or of the night. The previous verse before that says you are children of light and of the day. You're not of the night or the darkness. We are in the world. We're not of the world. The church is in the world. It shouldn't be of the world, but the church is in the world, and the world is in the church. The world is also in the hearts of many ministers, pastors, deacons, and Christians. You need to get the world out of your heart, get the Lord in your heart, keep him on your throne, watchful and waiting and standing in him and doing what he's called you to do. You have a choice. Just chuck it all and do your own thing. We have been called not to die, therefore, but to live. The one thing I like here, it says, remember, therefore, in verse 3, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. Now see, we have churches just like this. They will even go through portions of Scripture. They have decided there are certain portions they won't teach. They have decided, some of them, not to even teach the Old Testament, as they call it. That's one of the most grievous errors I can know. I teach out of the entire Bible. I can teach you out of Isaiah and bring you New Testament truths, and I do it every week and been doing it for years. Not just Isaiah, but others. What Bible do you think the Lord read? The New Testament? Give me a break. What do you think the apostles read? The New Testament? No, not likely. They studied the law and the Torah, the prophets, the wisdom books, the Tanakh, as it's called. And the Spirit of God helped them and led them into the truths we know, which is found in the Gospels and the Epistles. But it's convenient to teach your people, and as we have in this town, we have one of the largest churches in town here. I remember when it started out, it was small. It is huge right now, very, very popular. Absolutely a monstrosity of a building. I mean, it almost looks like a major corporate business or a major hospital. I mean, the building's big, and it's beautiful. And when they're going to church and they let out, you know, they have a four-lane highway out front, and the cops have to go out there and hold up traffic and direct traffic in order to let the people out. And I'm sure that the church requested the police to do that for them. But the thing of it is, there's just certain things. I tried going there one time, and they have policies that are not acceptable. And they're not acceptable to the Word. They're not acceptable to me. And I will have nothing to do with them. Now, I have friends that go there. I have no other Christians that go there. And they're fine people. But, they go there anyway. But see, the depths that we're talking about is what these people are allowing and believe are abominations. And so we do have a problem with that. And there's also a problem with dealing with the end of days, the last days, and prophecy. Because they're not preparing their people as they should. But then when you come to churches in America and the various doctrines, we have as many doctrines as there are pairs of shoes. I mean, if you don't like one pair of shoes, just go try another one on. If you don't like one church or one preacher, just go somewhere else. Now, see, when we talk about, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. The first thing, how you heard and received it and heard. Who told you and how you heard it and what you did with it. You repented. They're not talking about the church you're going to. When we talk about what are we going to receive and what are we going to hear, we want to get back to the apostles and what they said, not what some modern church through the ages has been led to believe by a bunch of people that did not know the truth in the beginning. And when you get right down to it, even in our seminaries, it is men teaching men. And this goes back decades. Paul warned that when he leaves, grievous wolves would enter in, not sparing the flock. And they've already entered in a long time ago and spared not the flock. And many of the abominations and damnations they taught are still in some of these church denominations. It is not the man-made denomination, but it is the Lord that matters here. And who is Lord? And who do you serve? That's the issue. Now, I'm not denominational in any way, shape, or form. I get into the Word of God and teach the whole counsel of God, and the basis is what the apostles and the prophets taught. The foundations of Jerusalem are the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ, Yeshua, being the chief cornerstone. Because a lot of these churches are leading their congregations into falseness and untruth and not preparing them properly. But if you are a true born-again believing Christian, you need to remember that you did receive the Lord, you did follow him, you did repent, and that he has called you for a higher purpose. And you need to hang on to that, because the devil will steal it from you. In Revelation, we find referrals to don't let any man take your crown. That's in Revelation. In other words, when we look at it, it has faith behind it. The writer writes telling you, you already have a crown as a believer. It's not on your head, but it's there. Don't let any man take your crown. Remember how you became his follower. Now, I remember how I heard. I remember how I received it. I still remember the place. It was out in the desert, literally. I wrote a track by that name. I Met God in the Desert. It was an article that was published in Pentecostal Evangel. The article itself became a track that I had produced, and it was also a track that I sent to some native pastors whom I was working with, who made it into their language and distributed it. And people really liked it. But see, I was driving in a truck after a bad experience and certain things that happened. And I got about 20 miles out of the town from where I was. And in that truck as I drove, I heard a voice. It started speaking to me about my sin and what I was doing. I'll never forget it. I stopped the truck. Pulled over the side of the road, of course, and stopped the truck. Cars and stuff going by, sagebrush, rabbits, antelope, and out in the middle of nowhere, here I am, alongside the road, kneeling, praying to somebody who had just talked to me, who had just brought revelation into my spirit, revealing that I was a sinner. It's been a long road. Very long road. I'd been raised in the church, practically. My dad made sure that I was in that church with mom. He had received the Lord at an Amy Simple McPherson meeting. He had two other siblings, neither of whom accepted the Lord. Dad always used to tell me he could never figure it out why he was the one who accepted the Lord and the other two didn't. His mother, my grandmother, was also a Christian. And I attribute many of the blessings on my life because of the faith of my grandmother and my dad, not to mention my mother and my other grandmother. Now, you see, my aunt got cancer and died, and my uncle died of a self-inflicted alcoholism bent. Now, if both of them would have come to know the Lord, they might have not ran into those problems. They didn't live that long of a life, and they died in a manner not fitting for anybody. But my dad lived a very long life. He was never in the hospital, except when he was a kid and he had his appendix out. From there on, he didn't need much medicine. I mean, he had a little bit, I think, some pills for his a pre-diabetes thing. But pretty much he did really well. Didn't quite make the age we wanted him to, but he was near 90 when he died. I think it was 88, 89. Long life. You see, it's about hearing, receiving, holding fast, and in all this, repentance. And it's not just one-time repentance. It's continual repentance. You're not perfect. You're going to sin as you go. If you get into 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You follow that verse, those verses on down, you're going to find another verse that says that if we do sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But we confess those sins. See, that's really the issue here. We need to make sure we're where we should be. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we forgive, confess our sins, we have that advocate. And we're not perfect. All he asks is to repent and to walk in him. Because if you don't, if you're not watching, it's going to be as a thief that comes in the middle of the night. You're not going to know. If you had a house that was always getting broke into and didn't do anything, he would continue to do that. But if you post yourself on your watch, just like in Israel, of old, upon the watchtowers, that's where the watchman was and would scan the horizon day and night for any enemies. That's what you do as a father in a family, as a brother or a sister or a mother. You scan the horizon, look around, watch what's happening to your family and friends. Be aware, be alert. Fasting, prayer, spiritual warfare. And sometimes you have to be active, like in America today. We need to stand up and vote. And vote for the right person. We need to stand against wickedness and godlessness. You need to stand and make sure you know what your schools are teaching your children, because they will teach them perversion. Because there's a lot of liberal teachers in there and godless people who have taken over your school systems in America and around the world. God calls us not to sit like a lump on a stump. And just say, everything's fine, I'll just sit here. No, you get up off your lazy butt and do something. Stand up for Christ. Stand up for your family. Do something. Fast. Pray. And if you find teachers that are teaching your children abominations, and you get your butt in there and you tell the principal and you stand against it. Because a life is in danger because of these liberals and others who teach them this. We have so many things that are abomination and sick today. People are so blinded and so loose on their stump, they don't know what they're doing. So you better be warned. If you don't wake up, he will come as a thief. And you will not know what hour that he comes, because you're not stationed there. You are not walking in the light as he is in the light. You're not doing what you need to be doing. And neither was Sardis. But see, in verse 4, it says, you have a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now see what he says, defiled their garments. In verse 5, he says, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. The white raiment depicts the holiness of the saints. And we've talked about this before. There's one thing about these churches. See, there were some there that had defiled their garments. They had become the tares, but yet there was still some real wheat. Now, you remember the parable of the tares and the wheat. They wanted to pull up the tares. And the Lord said, no, you leave them there until harvest, and then I will send my angels, and they will separate them, lest you pull up the good with the bad. And that's the only problem. You get in a church, you pull up someone because you think you have a right to do that, and you get in trouble. Because then someone else becomes offended and turns away from the Lord. The Lord is going to take care of his church. The Lord is going to hold them accountable. We pray for them. If we find a pastor in a church that's in an abomination, we can speak that. But you need to have two or three of you that stand up and realize that's what it is. In everything, let everything be confirmed with two or three witnesses. That's the law. But there were those in Sardis that had not defiled their garment. They had a reward. They would walk with the Lord in white. They were worthy. They had not failed. They were still in the faith. And they were walking alongside people who were defiled. These people who were defiled would not know what hour the Lord would come. They were not watching. They were not careful. And they were not going to be clothed in white unless they repent. See, that's the whole issue here. And that's one thing some of the Jews that I've met, and I've met quite a number, including an honest and true Jewish prophet, like the Old Testament, He's passed away now, which was surprising. But God calls everybody home. We all give account to the same God, folks. And when I see what's happening in America, when I see the Hollywood types, when I see the Democrats and their loathing and hatred towards Trump, that's not justice. That's wickedness. That's pride. And our nation is full of hedonistic pride, whether it's in the political realm or if it's in some other realm. We have a lot of pride in this country at every level, and pride goes before a fall. There's pride of nations as well. There's a lot of other leaders, a lot of other nations full of pride, and they have sins too. They may not be exactly like ours, but they're still an abomination. God is going to judge the nations. You're not going to judge them. God is going to judge them. He's going to judge the churches. He's going to judge all the myriad denominations and peoples and pastors, principalities and powers. He's going to judge every level of society and its laws. Everything will be in the open. Everything will be laid open. The books will be opened. And you won't be sitting there shouting at God with your fist. You'll be on your knees weeping and crying for mercy. But if you haven't accepted Yeshua and followed him in truth, it will be too late at that point. This is why the Lord put together the book of here in Revelation. It's not about all of the seals and all of the trumpets and everything else. You know, dear God in heaven, if I've heard that once, I've heard it myriads of times. The book of Revelation, yes, it has trumpets, it has judgments, it has a great tribulation, but that's not what the book is about. It's about the revealing and the unveiling of the kingdom of the Son of God and his kingdom that he has prepared for those who trust in him, and how he will put down every principality and power that opposes him and his Father. There will be truth and righteousness and justice. The former things will be put away. You'll be no more sick. It's hope. It's deliverance. It's salvation. It's redemption. The Son of God has come. We'll be running into his light. We won't be running away from his light. So as his people in this hedonistic society, it is imperative that the churches stand up, that the pastors stand up, that the deacons stand up in truth. Yes, I've been opposed by deacons before on the board who caught me on a Sunday morning, didn't like my preaching and all of my excitement that I had. You're too zealous for the Lord, they told me. Yeah, it didn't end very well. One morning I was thanking God because the sun was shining into my office in that church where I was at. I felt I was in the perfect will of God. And then before long, I was not in that church. And it was close to the holidays. Yeah. Good, solid Christians. Remember, some of the biggest enemies that Christians have are other Christians, unfortunately. It's well said that Christians don't repair their wounded. They bury the wounded. They trod all over them. But God is not done with the church in America, nor around the world. And what may seem impossible for you and me is possible with him. I have learned over all of these years that everything is in his hands. I had been warned in Bible school by a seasoned missionary when he was teaching the book of Acts. says, every church you go into to preach, he says, keep your bags packed. Oh, dear God in heaven. When you're a fresh meat out of that mill, yeah, they can teach you the Bible. They can teach you many things, but there's things they can't teach you, baby. God had to take me and teach me from then. It was like if you wanted rose, you know, one of the most potent essential oils is the oil of the rose. Well, see, each Christian is like that rose. More likely, it's like the oil of that rose, very, very precious. And sometimes God has to squeeze you to get that out of you, to get you to where you need to be. And remember in verse 5, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now that's interesting because the book of life has all the names in it. And where your name would have been, there's going to be a space. Now say, your name was there. But I'll confess his name before my Father and his angels. He that has an ear, let him has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto churches. The best message to Sardis is, yes, I know that you're backslid, you're dead. But the news is, you can repent. I will heal you. I will forgive you. You walk worthy. It says, walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That's in heaven. That's in his kingdom. You have a good future. Make sure you protect that future and that future for your children. I am very concerned and have been for years about the kids. I hate the fact of what we've done to them. And see, for them, many of them don't know. You know, that what they're doing is wrong. They don't know. Watch out for the kids. Father, we thank you for your word today and for those that hear it. Bless them, watch over them, and keep them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Don't forget to go to our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows, read the articles. You can also find all the shows on all of our other carriers of the show. Read the articles. There's a lot of research and writing. I've written a multitude of articles, and they're all centered around the Lord. Be blessed. Be found in him. Have a good weekend. This is the Watchman in for Tower. Shalom. Be blessed, my friends. Tell other people about the broadcast and share it. We need your help to share this. We need your help financially. We need your help, you know, prayerfully, because we're up against a lot of things. But we are dedicated to getting this word out. So long.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warren Radio.